Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics, such as...
Tere on Guerra de Vecinos, or War with the Neighbors? I don't know what the hell it's called in English. Oh, The War Next Door, that's what it's called, on Netflix.
The War Next Door.
It's kind of a funny show. It's definitely, like, it brings up, like, the classism of, like, you know, darker-skinned poor people and, like, these wannabe American, like, white Dinos. But they had this one, like, oh, I'm such a feminist, like, badass character, gender rights girl. And then they just made her, like, hetero as fuck. But she's gay. Like, she just doesn't know it yet, I think. She's not there yet. Maybe season
she's
2.
She's not there.
I don't know. It was funny, I guess. What up, Corona?
What's poppin', Chingona? Was good.
Just you know, the huge. It's still hot, but today, I guess this morning it rained or something, so it hasn't been that bad. And that's your weather update for today.
And that's your weather update. It's sunny and 98 degrees in Dallas, Texas. No, man, dude, I've just been watching things that, like, don't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, same. I've been watching this K-drama called Nevertheless.
I think I've seen that, like, when I'm scrolling through the Netflix.
I'm sure you have. It's, like, really, it's big. It's... Everyone's really watching it.
Who is everyone?
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm on K-pop.
You're
Twitter,
on K-pop
so, like...
world. So I need you to like remind yourself.
Everyone's watching it. Yeah, me and no one. No, it's on Netflix. It's called Nevertheless, and there's like this like budding romance between these two girls. But it is Korean media that's being shown there, so I doubt they're actually gonna get gay with it. Maybe they'll hold hands and confirm to be in a relationship. Verbally, and that's
God. I don't know how you can do that. That grasping at straws, shit. Like, no.
I don't know.
Better maybe fuck or get out of my face.
I understand that, but at the same time, I'm just like bored and there's nothing on, so I'm like, well, might as well watch this. Like, I don't know if I'm ready to watch Vecinos en Guerra, like the reboot Netflix version, because I remember. The OG Argentinian
version. It's completely
version.
Different. Like, it's in Mexican, and it's, like, completely different. But go, keep going about your... Do you have more to say about Nevertheless?
Yeah, no, nothing else to say about Nevertheless other than it's on Netflix. Y'all should watch it. Yoon Sol and... Oh, fuck. I'm not going to pronounce the other girl's name right. But anyways, Yoon Sol's in it, and she's, like, obviously... She's, like, a queer-coded character. She's, like, butch, and, you know, she's in art. She's in the sculpture.
Does she wear suits?
She wears, like, jumpers, like, those painting one-suit, one-piece jumpers.
Overalls?
Overalls, yeah. No, like, the ones that have the sleeves and everything. I can't, a jumper.
Oh,
I don't know
like
why
the ones that, like, mechanics wear?
Yes, those. No, she's just, like, really butch-coated, and I really appreciate it. So, y'all should go watch Nevertheless on Netflix if you're grasping at straws like I am, because... Yeah, you kind of want to avoid the rest of queer media just for a moment, because I feel like I watched it all. Like, honestly, what we're going to talk about today, I binge-watched all of those things.
Yeah, just, within, like, a week or some shit. It's crazy.
It is, and I'm just, like, my brain is full. So I just got to watch something kind of mindless and not too involved.
Like, Guerra de Vecinos. Like, that's what that is. It's, like, it's very much, like, it's,
which
like,
one?
The
new
one. Yeah, okay. The new one. It's just very, like, you can call, it's very calling itself out, you know?
Ooh, okay. I don't know. It's aware of, it's self-aware.
It's very mestizo versus white, like,
ooh,
which is interesting.
That is interesting. Maybe they just, like, took the concept from the Argentinian Vecinos en Guerra and then, like, just changed it, remixed it, and made it Mexican? I don't know.
It's like literally, I think it's okay if I just say the concept. It's a family who's, like, you know, poor, a little darker skin, they're not that white, like, and they win a house basically in like a millionaire like neighborhood. And they're next, they end up in like a guerra with the next door neighbors because the next door neighbors are like, no, these people can't be in our neighborhood, like high key racist. And
yes,
and then like everyone ends up like becoming like super close except for the two moms who are always like battle, you know, but they shouldn't be. I don't know, it's like one of those things, but it's fun, it's a fun watch, all you know, albeit very much calling out like all of the fuck up in colorism and classism in Mexico.
Ooh, we'd love to see. I might watch it. But what do you think now that you're watching the OG version on YouTube? What do you think of that version?
So it's not it. I don't think they're related, if I'm being honest. Because I think the novela one is like a whole like neighborhood kind of like going at it. Whereas this is like two families, two houses next door. Like it doesn't seem to be related at all. It has a completely different vibe. And also,
what do you think about the gayness?
I honestly am not actually watching the novella. I'm just watching the scenes with the
lesbians. Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Yeah. What do you think about that?
It's fucking dramatic and a little whiplashy, especially since obviously I'm missing a lot of stuff. And so far, I mean, it's winning. I'm probably gonna finish it tonight. Like,
yes, we'll link that in our.
It's called Valeria y Agustina, parts 1 through 500 or whatever. I don't know.
Yes, y'all, and this is how I watched this shit back in 2000.
Experience
whenever.
The culture of a millennial in their teens and early 20s trying to dig for queer content. It's watching on YouTube, terrible quality. It's like, yes. It's an experience, and you watch it on your laptop, and you watch it in the dark, where your mom
with
can't
headphones.
See what you're watching. That's literally how I was watching it right now, and I was like, this is a throwback. I have a huge TV, but I'm doing this, whatever,
on
I guess.
On your laptop?
On my laptop, with my headphones.
As you should watch these things when you watch them on YouTube.
It's a vibe, like, it's the experience.
If you want to experience nostalgia.
Go on Tumblr later, see if I can find any good gifts.
Hey, look, it's still there, and it's still accessible to everyone on YouTube, at least.
If it works, like, it works, all right?
Can't fix them when it's not broke, okay? So, also, good news. I May Destroy You got nominated for, like, 9 different, I believe, Emmys?
It sure fucking did, like, across the, not just the show, but, like, the actors and stuff, yeah.
Exactly. Michaela Cole got nominated for lead series TV actress role.
In, like, hell yeah, as she should.
Oh, my God, she deserves it. I think she's going against, like, just other people on HBO, like, honestly.
Yeah, Hacks got nominated, like, wild as well.
Deservedly so. That's such a great show.
Really, really, really good. One of those white done right things.
Yes.
What else? First ever nomination for a trans woman for best actress.
Pose.
Went to MGA Rodriguez. So deserved. Should have happened earlier.
From
Pose.
The first
I haven't
season.
Been watching this latest season of Pose. I know it's the last one.
I haven't watched it either. I know, I think it's already over and neither of us have watched
it. Well, because everyone is saying that like that they were like crying and stuff, and I was like, no.
Yeah, I'm not ready for the emotional roller coaster that's gonna be, because every episode I feel like I used to cry. So some heavy stuff in there, but it's really important and really good. So we're being bad gays again, as per usual. We haven't seen Pose.
We're managing our trauma, like,
yeah we just binge watch shows now, so I don't know.
I don't know, whatever, I'm like bad at being gay, like, it's fine.
We both fail.
It's okay by me.
Yeah, fuck it.
Oh, I watched the latest in the Purge franchise, The Forever Purge, which isn't getting a whole lot of, like, buzz, which none of them do. But The Forever Purge was, like, Mexican as fuck. Like, holy fuck.
Okay.
And it's not based on, like, the Texas border with Mexico. And it's, like, I don't know. It's good. It's good. It's good enough to go watch. Like, there's some parts where I'm like, it had a little bit of a tropiness with, like, the noble savage trope, you know.
Oh.
But they really get the focus a lot of, you know, a lot of the time. And I don't know. I like it. I like how it breaks apart, like, this whole American dream thing. So I definitely, if you like horror, if you like any of the Purge stuff, you should definitely go check out The Forever Purge at the theater.
At the theater. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. I need to go see that. I keep saying I'm going to watch a lot of scary stuff, and then I chicken out and I don't. So,
shout out to Fear Street. No, but The Purge is
like, love that's a different thing. This is like for me, you know? So,
yeah, it's very political. I'll be watching that. Like, MAGA's brought in type of deal. Oh, yeah.
I love this. This is right up my little. I only use my degree when I watch TV. Thank you so much. My useless ass degree.
Welcome to my TED Talk. Yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll do another political episode where I can bring out my political theory.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, we just gotta find some stuff. There's some stuff. I'm sure
there's plenty of stuff. It's just, do we want to take it there?
Just when, where, and how. Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. When, where, and how. And there are better things coming out soon. Hopefully, like the new Harley Quinn's gonna come out later this year. Like, there's just a bunch of stuff that. I'd
and that has
cover.
Recently come out, which is why we're doing this episode.
Yes. Okay, so you want to get into it? Let's get into it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah, so this episode we're kind of calling our sophomores episode because there's some stuff that we've already covered that we kind of like want to circle back to, and that's something that we don't do. Like, once we cover a show, that's it. It's done. It's dead to us. But this stuff is not dead. It's very much alive, and it's been really nice to have shows come back after the pandemic. So yeah, let's start with one that we won't shut the fuck up about, Betty on HBO. It's on its second season. It actually hasn't even finished, but I think when this episode comes out, like the day after, will be the season
last
finale
episode.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that. HBO is really fucking killing the game.
I feel like everything they put out has been like female led lately.
Yeah. But yeah, so if you guys want more thoughts on like Betty pre like spoilery stuff, you might refer to our other episode on it. This is gonna be more like, well, I guess I'll try to talk about it. We can both try to talk about it like generally without getting into like super detail and just kind of like going off of our opinions.
Okay, let's do it.
I don't know about you, but it's like a lot more serious. Like, there's a lot higher higher stakes this season. I feel like my girls are going through it.
Yeah, they're all like struggling individually with each other and with the world and their place in it. It's like very coming of agey this season.
Yeah, it's like they had a lot more like vibey shit last season. Like more yeah. like random moments where they're just ranting and babbling about nothing and kind of like enjoying each other's company. Like mm-hmm. there was a lot of just like long scenes like that where it didn't particularly move the plot forward, but it just put you in the place with them. And there's
what is
not
that called?
Very much.
Slice of life?
Yeah, kind of. So they did a lot of that, and I miss it. I miss it a lot, because it's just like, now you're more like on edge of your seat with the show now.
Yeah, there's like more of a plot and a story. Like, there's definitely like something happening to everyone. And I kind of appreciate that part, but at the same time, I don't really know where we're going. Like, it's typical Betty. Like, we're on a journey, but it's like we're looking for the skate church, right? But like, we don't really know why we're looking for the skate church. But once we get there, we understand. And that's kind of like Betty in general. It's just like, we don't know where we're going or why, but once we get there, it's kind of beautiful. So it's like, every character is like, there's a lot happening to these characters and they're having to grow up. Like, I feel like Camille is like struggling with her persona and who she is, you know, like that. I think that's like a really interesting take too, but she's not often the most interesting. I feel like Honey Bear is really like showing out this season and it's making me so happy because it's like, I don't know, like Honey Bear feels closer to like the way I felt maybe at that age than I have ever felt. Even though me and Kurt are like the same now, But me and Honey Bear back then would probably be more, you know, all over the place. What do you think of her? Or are you thinking of them? Honey Bear
is killing me. Her storyline's killing me because it's like, it's the most like...
It's so messy.
Yeah, it's the most messy. It's the most like drama filled, like just say like, what you're thinking. Almost like very like high school, you know?
Yeah, kind of like very like for me, like I'd compare it to maybe like age like 16 to 18 where you're being messy, you know, and I feel like Honey Bear is being messy and like the main character, and I love this.
Yeah. I also think Janae, like her, like, whoa. I don't know, I just she has a little, whoa, bit of like drama.
Is she a Virgo? Like, she's very in control of things. She's
like like she needs is to she relax. A Virgo? And of course, oh my god,
oh, Indigo.
Yeah, Indigo, she's worrying me. I'm a little, yeah, concerned. I feel like a little bit of a mom when I watch her. I'm like, mija, ¿qué estás haciendo? Like,
yeah, it's like, Indigo's having a really, like, really harsh awakening to the ways of the world. I think she's always come from, her POV is coming from, like, a lot of privilege. And I think she's starting to understand how the rest of the world moves, and it's really grimy. I mean, I think she's always known that, but I feel like maybe she's putting herself, obviously she's putting herself in situations she's not prepared for. You know, like,
yeah, it's she's a bit like spoiled. She's like, yeah, like her view on life was like that she should get more and she's worth more and she is and all of that. But it's like she doesn't know that like it takes more time, it takes more effort to be there. Like, you can't just, things aren't handed to you, you can't. So she's trying to take these shortcuts that are dangerous, and
yeah she's endangering herself with her decisions. And I don't know, I think the class thing has a lot to do with it. I think she wants to keep staying at this level that she's always been used to and comfortable with, versus now where she doesn't have as much financially and she's trying to get that back any way she can. And it's kind of like her and Janae are in this like push pull of like girl boss slash like community, right? Like, Janae is very like kind of commanding in this like season, which isn't bad, but she's just kind of a little aggressive. And I feel like as the show's gone on, maybe she's like, she's figuring some stuff out that happened to her in like the first season. And I feel like she's kind of dealing with that trauma, maybe not in a healthy way, maybe avoiding the trauma. But I think it's interesting that the contrast between one of them wanting to build community and Indigo just trying to be like hashtag girl boss, you know?
Hashtag capitalism girl.
Yes, that's what she's used to.
I don't know. I love that gay shit, so I was stoked on, you know, that part.
Yes, yes, that part.
I
won't get
into detail, but I was just like, wow!
Yeah, you caught it from the trailer, and I was like, what? How did you see this in the trailer?
Yeah, I have eagle eyes for that shit, dude.
You really do, though. Like, the gay gaze is real. I was just like, how did you? I was like, you know what? You're right, that's a wig. That's what's going on. That's a wig. But that was an interesting episode. Shout out to that episode. But yeah.
I don't know. I'm curious to see how the season finale will go. And I'm also curious, like, upon rewatch, because I know that I'll probably, like, do a quick binge of the whole thing later. Mm-hmm. Like, how I'll feel about it as opposed to, like, the first season, which I watched, like, over and over and over and over because I just loved it so much and it brought me so much comfort.
So good.
Whereas I feel really stressed when I watch the second season. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
With all that said, mm-hmm. Would you call this a sophomore slump or a sophomore bump?
Oh man. It's a little slumpy. And it's not a bad thing. I feel like the show is finding itself. I think first season it was doing something else. It wanted to do something else. And the second season I feel like they got writers involved and like they decided to go on journeys, you know? And that's cool. That means it's good writing. We're engaged. We're upset. We're reacting to these characters. I think that's good writing. But also, it's like, dang, like, there's a lot of dudes. Yeah. And that's fine. That's fine. Great. Sure. Whatever. They're just, like, props. I understand. But they're still there. And I think that's what's kind of... No, I don't know. I don't know. I prefer the first season and the movie. Yeah. But we'll see where third season goes.
technically,
about you?
Technically a slump.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just not, it's not as good as the first season, but the first season, like, it knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I think that it did, because it came from this film that a lot of people loved. And
shout out Skate Kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. So it, like, it didn't have to have a lot to figure out, because it was almost like loosely based on the plot of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So then the second season, it's like brand new content, and you're dealing with a pandemic because they brought that into the storyline.
Yeah.
So it just had a lot going on. So like you said, though, it's not a bad thing. This happens. That's why sophomore slumps are like a literal whole thing. And if anything, it says a lot of good about it, because it means that's how good the first season was, because a lot of shows lately, their second season is better because the first one had a lot of issues, that type of vibe, you know.
Yeah. So what would you rate season two of Betty on top of, like, do we slump it or not? Do you want to rate it? We don't have to.
Yeah, but I'm still gonna say no cafecitos. I still love them. I'm not like struggling to watch it, as in, like, I don't want to. I'm just struggling to,
with,
like,
these character choices.
Yeah, I
just
care too much.
It's great, though. We're engaged.
I'm not mad. I'm disappointed.
Yeah, no, it's still doing what it's supposed to do. It's really interesting. I don't know. I'd give it probably 4.5 pandosas, whereas I think the first one was 5. I probably said 4.5, though. I don't know. I can't remember. But I'd say 4.5. For me, personally. Still really loved it, but it's just, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the joy I got. You know, I think the world collectively isn't happy right now, so it's fine. It's we're all going through it together, including creatives, especially creatives. So I think it reflects in their art. So, but yeah, let's talk about somebody that did do it right on the second season, though. I'm excited about these next couple ones.
Yeah, definitely. Are you cool with doing Love, Victor next?
Yeah, let's do Love, Victor.
You seen
it?
Oh
my god, yes. I binge watched it in a day.
Same. Like, well, actually, I think like a night and then like a day, you know, like that type of thing.
Yes,
there's just, I'm not even gonna beat around the bush. Love, Victor season 2 killed it.
It's like they heard every criticism,
everything,
ever, and considered it, and just did it.
Everything except for what they couldn't control some of it, right? Like having straight actors playing queer roles, which is something that I don't particularly have a problem with myself, but I know
that
other people wish that they would give more opportunities to queer people, which is valid, but I say give them more opportunities of all kinds. But yeah, they killed it. They brought in more of the QPOC experience. It's not just queer, it's not just brown. You put them together and it's a whole thing.
Two browns allowed to be together, we love it.
Yeah, it was
two non-whites.
Cool. They brought in this whole new character where we kind of think like Victor is gonna become a new like role model, and he's sort of been like pushed into that role like without even asking for it, kind of in the same way that he did to Simon, I guess, before.
Yeah.
But you know, I thought it was gonna be like this other character that was brought in that he was gonna just kind of be in and out watching him, but he ended up taking a really big role, and I loved him. We love Raheem. Love Raheem.
He's just so superior to like what they were doing in the first season.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, a lot of the first season was Victor being, and just kind of like Simon being, this very like what people consider stereotypically hetero like guy, and then he was gay, right? Like, he loves sports. I'm a jock, but I'm gay. Like, it's an
jock, but I'm gay.
And so you bring in Raheem, and it's like, this is the kid, like, with the, like, who knows himself, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was lovely to see him.
I think the addition of Raheem to the entire show is like, It made me happy. It's exactly what was wrong the first season, and where my criticism lied is that I'm tired of, like, you know, white love interests. I'm like, let's be realistic. Like, he's in Atlanta. Like, can you give us some flavor? And they listened. And I feel like the writing has actually been really nice to all of the characters, not just to Raheem. I feel like in general, the second season really explored the characters like correctly and with care that I didn't necessarily know they were going to do when I saw the first season of this Love, Victor. I feel like there's just a lot of careful moments between them, like Victor's mom and him, their relationship. I thought that was a really like honest and cool thing to see, and see an accepting father without getting too spoilery.
Yeah, no, I agree. And they brought in the reality of it, like the reality of how parents struggle with kids' sexuality. Like, it's in many ways, right? Because Victor got it on this season. I mean, yeah, Victor was like over here, like learning, wilder. And it was almost like they kind of like this season, like the Love, Victor writers were like, let's bring in a little bit of like responsibility on ourselves and on the show of like telling queer kids like it's normal to have these feelings about like sex and stuff like that, like mm-hmm. sex education that they're never gonna give in school type of thing.
Yeah, that was, I thought that was really well done. Like, they really care about their audience, and it's showing. I just couldn't tell the first season because it was, you know, the first season.
Yeah.
I just feel like they really listened to feedback. It was like, you know, someone made a box of concerns and they actually fixed everything. They made it good. So I was really shocked.
Well, they really did really well is make me look forward to the next season. I won't say why, because that's a huge spoiler at the very end, but let's just say that
can we talk about it, like can we warn them and then just
they gave
like,
us a briefly... little bit of like a little extra. Yeah, I guess
they gave something to us.
Right. We're gonna have to time ourselves. All right guys, we're gonna give ourselves a full, let's say, 90 seconds to talk about this very spoilery end of this show.
Yeah, y'all can skip ahead or starting... yeah, just
now. Okay.
Oh, so making her gay, like making her bisexual, like that,
or
was
like queerish. Yeah, that's kind of what happens, like I think in the Love, Simon books, is that like the best friend is like ends up being bisexual, so I guess like that's their way of bringing them into that into this. But also the girl who like plays the love interest is queer in real life, so
who's she? She looks familiar.
She like
a YouTuber.
She's dating like a YouTuber. She's in like the white girl YouTuber LA team, like vibe team people.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's up in that like world. So as soon as I saw her, I was like, there's no fucking way she's straight. I was so confused for a long time, and then when she was gay, I was like, oh, okay. I got
you're
it.
Like, this all makes sense now.
Yeah. I was waiting for the fucking shoe to drop on that. But I'm really excited because they had like crazy chemistry right off the bat.
Yeah, immediately for no reason. And I'm just like, where's, I like where, let's go there.
Season
and you know
three,
what I didn't hate?
Go. Wait, hold on, we ran out. Wait, no, we have 30 seconds. We have 30 seconds. Okay, go.
I don't hate the sister and the best friend. Okay, I said it. I don't hate it. That makes sense.
Me neither. Me neither. I kind of, I was shipping it. I don't ship straight people like that.
Me neither.
But I was like, fuck that other shit.
This is more interesting.
Yeah, it was more interesting, and like there was just, it just made more sense, I guess.
Okay. All right. We're done. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Back to your regularly scheduled programming. But what would you, to wrap it up, if you want to wrap it up, are you ready for that?
Yeah, I would call it a total bump. Like,
yeah.
It like they killed it. They absolutely did really well, and I. If they don't get a third season, that's fucking stupid, because you gave them a second season after season one.
Oof.
So,
season one was so bad.
This was not that good. I mean, I liked it, but I get why other people were like, eh.
It is so much better this time around. It's definitely a bump for me. I'm so excited for season three, and I binge watched this thing in a day, which is insane, because I don't care for Victor like that, but this season really made me see him as a person, because they really took it there. Like, yeah. He was just wilding, and I was like, okay, now we can relate, boo. But before, no.
Yeah. I like that he was just kind of being a teenager and stuff. But yeah, good shit. Great job.
Good shit. Injected into my veins.
I can't wait. I hope that they get renewed. Yeah. So, are you ready for the next one?
Of course, yes. I'm super hyped about this. This is newish.
Wait,
which one is next?
The other two we haven't planned is Atypical and Master of None.
Okay, cool. Which one do you want to go first? Master or Nun is like, oh, it's
that's
so
gonna be
beautiful.
Your thing. Like, I'm just yeah. gonna listen. So do you okay. want to do Atypical, Knock It Out, so we can just get to your stuff?
Yeah, let's knock it out.
All right, cool. This one's not even a sophomore season. This is like the final season. But well, there's an exception, because when we covered it, I think it was maybe just two seasons in. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I hadn't finished it or what. I don't know. Maybe we were even only one season in, but basically we didn't know about the queerness of it all. And we even made the, like, I'm hoping you guys are okay with, like, getting a little spoilery just in general about where we're at in the final season. But we didn't know that Cassie was queer, so much so that we called her our should have been gay.
Yep.
I was like, this character reads gay to me, I can't believe it, and I threw a fit, and then they made her gay, so I appreciate that. But that's why we're bringing back Atypical Season 4, which is also the final season, much to my pain and suffering and such.
Yeah, no, this show, and this, I didn't see the whole series, I'm not gonna, I also only saw two seasons of this, I think maybe two and a half. I don't
like
even,
not the first, or what do you mean?
Not the first season, and the second one is like when she got introduced, so that's when I guess when I started watching it. But anyways, this last season was like really intense, but like I really enjoyed it, and it maybe had less to do with just the queer parts and more to do with everyone, set oddly enough, like I liked everyone.
They were just people. Yeah
It
was great. It was a great way to wrap the show up. Like, it still felt like a full season where people are still going through stuff and figuring things out without it feeling like, you know, we're missing out on a lot. Like, yes, I absolutely wish I could see more, but I definitely felt like they were all in the place to move on, and so I have to move on too, I guess. Like, whatever.
Yeah, neither of us were ready. We didn't want to leave this world. We had just gotten in it. So we're like, wait,
what? It
was
just so good. Like, I don't know. It's the perfect slow burn mixed with, like, some drama with just, like...
With some, like, realistic teenage stuff. Like...
Yeah.
But, like, also... just super dramatic because it's on TV, because like how else, like you can't be boring, right?
Lots
like
of,
but still.
Lots of chemistry.
Yeah, lots of chemistry.
It was good, and like it wasn't it didn't completely do what all these fucking shows do with like WLW couples where they kiss like two times and it's like a peck. Like they went for it, all right?
Like my K-drama. No.
They don't just hold hands in the car, except only in the second season.
Oh, that was, oh my god.
Which was a lot still, like
angst. So much angst.
It was really good, and I'm just so happy for them, I guess, that they like had this like nice four season ride, and like that we got to know these characters and then we had time with them. It's I wish we had more, but like I'm not complaining, because we sometimes get a lot less.
Yeah, no, like it was enough. I felt like yes, they could have done their own thing, had their own series, but then it would have been a completely different show. But I do appreciate that, like, it wasn't perfect between them, and they didn't try to make it seem as though it was an easy transition for both of them. And I respect that, like, they were honest about how they identify and where they felt seen in their worlds. Like, Cassie felt more comfortable back at her old school, and Izzy felt more comfortable in this private school. You know, like, there was definitely a lot of push and pull between these two characters, and the family dynamic, like, Cassie's dad not liking Izzy was really interesting, because usually it's, like, you know, it's a girl and guys are like, oh, well, whatever, she's a girl, I like
the
her,
mom
whatever.
Relating to her and like just being yes. so understanding with her mom stuff and
yes.
yeah, the irresponsible parenting thing. And yeah, they just really did a lot of justice to Izzy's character.
Yeah.
And I love that. And also Cassie too, because like Casey too, because
we keep saying Cassie.
My bad, Casey.
The ship
it's
name.
It's the ship name is Cassie, so I get confused.
Same.
So with Casey too, with like her like her mental peace of mind, like the way that she was struggling and the pressure on these kids, like that was important to see too, because they do mm-hmm. put a lot of pressure on themselves, especially like the way that this fucking awful capitalist society works, like you have to like kill yourself to get into a good college and shit like that.
Yeah, no, and it was like a healthy depiction of like how people interact, how families are, but in a healthy way. So it was nice to like live in this la la land of like everything's gonna be okay. I think we all need like that kind of optimism that the show like gave you. Like that's one of my favorite things about the show, is just that it was as light, and it feels like a hug, like the entire show. It's just like very, it's comforting for me. It's my comfort show. It's not.
It's my emotional support show.
No, that's still Mosquita and Mari. But anyways.
For me, it was Betty for a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, so I understand. Cute. Skate Kitchen is amazing.
Such and a vibe.
Maybe that's the one I go back to more, Skate Kitchen, even though it's really fucked.
Love that movie, though. It's so good. To me, the first season of Betty, and now we're going back to it. Never mind. Back to Atypical.
Yes, back to Atypical. So,
obviously, this is a bump for us, because, mm-hmm. yeah, from the first season to the fourth season, like, no comparison.
None. It's so different, y'all. It became, a really watchable show, whereas it began as something I didn't even want to watch. Just because a lot of the controversy surrounding how they casted the lead, you know, like, that was a thing. But then they started including actual autistic people as the series went on. But yeah, that was the whole thing that kind of like, I didn't really want to watch it because you're the one that said like it was kind of problematic. So
yeah. Yeah, but obviously stuff grows, stuff gets better, people listen. That's kind of a theme this episode. yeah, definite bump. Kazzy for life,
y'all. Bump on this side as well. So y'all go watch Atypical. Go finish that show. And now I don't want to go to the South Pole. Fuck that. I'll just rewatch the episode where Anthony Bourdain went to the South Pole. I'll just rewatch that. That's gonna be my whole thing. I'm not going for
Antarctica right now. It's so fucking hot.
Oof, I don't know if you wanted to. I mean. Let's not displace the penguins more, like, poor babies.
I mean, okay. You're like, space on Antarctica.
Yeah, that's true. They're just, you know, they'll be fine. No, so moving on to the last thing we're going to cover. Maitha has not seen this, but I'm hoping by the end of this she'll give it a shot, or maybe not, because it's kind of traumatic, but,
We'll see. Obviously, for reasons, we haven't, stand Master of None for a while. Like, just problematicness in general. But it came back Aziz-less, I guess. Or mostly
okay. Aziz-less. Like, wait, is it like a noun or a verb? What is that? Aziz-less.
It's a descriptive word.
Adjective?
So it's an adjective.
It's an adjective. Aziz-less. Yeah, we love those.
Like Aziz-less, so... Let's talk about it.
Yeah, so I'm going to be talking about Moments in Love. The whole thing was directed by Aziz and Alan Yang, of course. But and also, the whole series was co-written between Aziz Ansari and Lena Waithe. You know, everyone's allowed to feel however they want to feel about both of those people. But I'm just saying, I think they work well together, and outside of their personal private time, hopefully they're both working on themselves, but this shit was, like, really fucking good, and it has nothing to do with Aziz or Lena Waithe, even though they did everything. I mean, the best parts of the show are the things that they kind of understand that we want, and they gave it to us. Outside of their personalities, the work they do is actually very good, and it's actually very important. This series was only 5 episodes, and it was divided into chapters, like chapter 1 through chapter 5. And it stars Lena Waithe reprising her role as Denise and her disintegrating relationship with her wife, Alicia. And the entire show, as we said, is Aziz-less. I think maybe he understood we didn't need to see him, and maybe he decided to stay out of it. And I think that's a wise decision. So it's actually a really interesting choice to just kind of take the lens off New York itself, like New York City, and take the lens off Aziz, and then give it to these two queer Black women in upstate New York in their farmhouse, right? I think that's really interesting, and I think it deserved to be explored. It wasn't a easy watch. There were 5 really hard, very difficult episodes, not necessarily because of the writing or anything. All of those things, the writing was pretty good, but I would say the acting was amazing. Naomi Aki, I believe, played Alicia, the wife of Denise. Denise had just released her first book. She's gotten really famous. She's gotten a lot of money, and she's married to this interior designer named Alicia in their house. And you kind of go in to their relationship, and you're kind of seeing, like, these really cool shots, because Aziz Ansari in his, like, off time watches a bunch of, like, French New Wave, like, art films. And I'm really, like, into that. You know, I'm into these incredibly long shots of them, like, of Lena Waithe, like, or excuse me, of Denise washing dishes, or Denise just, like, sitting in her bathtub. Like, there's a lot of moments in here that are mundane, but I think that's kind of the beauty of this entire, like, series, these 5 episodes, these moments of love, is they're showing just Black women existing, doing nothing, and that's kind of amazing to me and revolutionary within itself, because there's no violence attached to it. There's no, like, men are kind of just props. Aziz Ansari pops in for, like, 2 episodes and just kind of is himself, and I feel a lot like a lot of the writing is maybe reflecting their personal things happening in their lives. Like, Aziz Ansari had his very public Me Too moment, and then he scurried away, and even his character seems a little bit, Dev, is feeling a lot of, like, maybe guilt, a lot of maybe, he's kind of fallen on hard times. And you see as the show progresses that Denise also does too. And it's kind of like the throning of both of these people, because they were at the top before these things started happening to them in their personal lives. And I feel like this is definitely reflecting that change in their life. And I think that's really vulnerable and honest, because Denise and Alicia are just, like, going through very separate times in their lives. Alicia's trying to become a mother. She wants to start her family and settle down. And Denise's character is very much, she's trying to write her second book. She's having a lot of writer's block, and she's gotten a lot of fame and a lot of attention and money with that first book. So she's changed as a person. She wants more of that. She's more ego driven and egocentric versus Alicia, who's also just trying to start a family. They're not on the same page. The whole series, the way it was shot and the way it was performed, I think those are its strongest points. And I think those are the things that make it stand out to me, because it's like, we're going to mix, like, these old, like, French art house bullshit, right? This, you know, bougie shit. And we're going to mix it with very mundane, just Black women existing, hanging out. And I love the mix of that. I like that Black women are getting treated with respect because of the writing and the way it was shot. Seriously, though, like, these moments in love, it was really beautiful. It was really important to see Black women be in love and also not be in love and fall apart and be by themselves struggling. There has been a lot of criticism, and it's very valid criticism, from people saying, you know, like, why can't Black women just have joy? But I think maybe Lena Waithe has finally succeeded where I don't think she necessarily succeeded with Queen and Slim. She said she wanted to show the real, you know, she didn't want to shy away from the real things that are happening to Black people in America. But I feel like that was very trauma porn versus this is just like, oh, this is probably your life, you know, versus, like, this didn't feel trauma porny. It felt like it felt like we were actually getting to look into her life. It felt super yeah. vulnerable. Like,
that's slice of life right there.
Yes, this is slice of life. And it was shot so beautifully, dude. Like, there's this incredibly long, boring shots of just, like, Lena Waithe sitting in this house. And to me, that's, like, quarantine, too. Like, they've managed to, like, have all of this, like, human isolation, all of this, like, loneliness, all of this, like, guilt, all of this, like, anger. And it's all in this house. It's not an easy watch. Like, you're literally watching people get a divorce. Spoiler alert. Don't watch this if maybe, you know, you're not ready, and you'll know pretty soon that you're not ready. It's very heavy, but it doesn't end in a bad way. Like, you know, even the ending of this wasn't bullshit. Like, the ending of this had a lot of love and a lot of, like, care. And that's kind of all we can ask, is, like, if you're going to tell a complicated story that is the real, you know, like, if this is real life, this is something that's very vulnerable, and you're opening up yourself to, like, the public for scrutiny, for us, people like us, to, like, trash talk your fucking art. I'm not trash talking it, though, but she's opened herself up in a way that I'm like, whoa, like, I don't know, maybe this is your fucking life. Maybe this is a conversation that you and Aziz Ansari didn't have privately. Maybe you're having it publicly right now. And and I think it's really beautiful to watch just Black women existing and crumbling apart and fucking up. And, you know, these are imperfect characters. Like, the whole thing's like a character study of Denise, you know. But I think that deserves to be on screen. We should see more like butch Black stud women fucking doing their thing, just existing in the world. I think I want, like, 20 more of these as well, you know? I don't want this to be the only one of just, you know, other than, like, Watermelon Woman or, like, The Shy or 20s. Basically, things Lena Waithe has made. And also Cheryl Dunier. That's kind of it, right? Pariah kind of, like, was getting towards, you know, there's stud representation there as well. But I'm just saying, like, it's not really...
All-American is one, but yeah, still
All-American, Sam J doing her thing. However wrong sometimes, she's out there, you know? So shout out to all of the, like, stud women out here doing it. Not much content is there, but it's there. So I'm glad that this got added to that, but...
Sounds like, in a way, this was kind of a sophomore thing, because what this kind of was is... recognizing the impact of this Thanksgiving episode that was very like Denise centered early on in Master of None.
Yes.
And just saying, like, here's the next part, but a lot longer and, like, you know, very intense and stuff. And I'm guessing it also jumps through time a little bit, like the Thanksgiving episode did.
Yeah, of course, a time jump.
So that's nice. I mean, it's in that case, yeah, like, that's great that it was recognized, the impact of that thing. Because back when we covered it, it was like,
crazy.
It impacted us a lot. We talked about it in depth. We did a whole episode just on one episode of a show. So that's, yeah.
No, yeah. I understand the criticism that people have for Lena Waithe. They're allowed to feel that way. Absolutely, I get it. But I feel like, you know, people like, someone else said it. They're like, it's not that I don't want to Lena Waithe to continue making things. They're like, I want her to keep making things. I just want her to get better. You know, it's like, it's not a call out. It's a call in, you know, and that's what it's always been with Lena Waithe. It's like, anytime she does something, I'm just like, all right, man, like, just come on.
She's also someone that, like was pulled in really quickly. Like, she kind of made her start a little bit with Master of None, and that wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
And she immediately went to being an exec. Yeah. On stuff. It's like, mm-hmm. That's really, really fast. A lot of people get more years under their belt, so criticism on her obviously is going to be higher than on other people, because that's how discrimination works. And, you know, and because she has, like, a lot of responsibility put on her.
She does. Yeah, there's a lot of responsibility that is honestly, it's unfair, right? Like,
yeah,
but there is no one else existing in these spaces, and they gave it to her, and she deserves it, and she's working on it. They didn't give it to her, excuse me. She worked her ass off for it, just like everyone else did, but she did get catapulted to the top immediately, and I feel like...
Really fast, yeah.
Had she had more time to work with the Z's, like, I think they really work well together.
Z's, just, like, in general, like...
But like, doing she's stuff. Worked on things by herself, and I've watched them, and honestly, her strongest work is with someone else.
The writing
dynamic, like, between them, it works. Like, maybe he doesn't have to be on screen with her, but like, I think they should write together. I think honestly, those two voices talking to each other, like, they I think they could do it. I think they should do more things together, honestly. I know how we feel about Aziz. Everyone feels the same way, but at the same time, it's like,
because I'm thinking, like, I want her to work with like Jordan Peele. I want her to work with like other people, like, in the creative world,
of course,
who have those years.
Yeah.
And Aziz is one of them, yes, but like, I just think in general, like,
yeah, she needs
to work with more people.
Yeah, so that she can get more experience and get better. But honestly, I feel like whatever they do, they should always come back to each other and work together, because they work well together. It makes sense when Lena Waithe talks to Aziz and then they translate that to something else. It really, it's a good dynamic there. Whatever they do, I hope they always kind of work together. Maybe they won't, but it really makes sense to me. They weren't even writing in the same room. They were just like emailing each other and talking to each other on the phone. Like, that's what...
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And originally, this was supposed to be, like, 10 episodes. And it was supposed to follow Dev a little more, too. But they just knocked it down to 5. And they said, let's make, like... This is the most quarantine, like, series I've seen. Like, it's the most, like, inside a house, claustrophobic, we can't leave here kind of feeling. Even though they do leave the house. But it feels like something... Like, when I look back about... Hopefully, when I look back and think of quarantine, this is going to be like one of the top things on that list, because it just feels angry and sad. And yeah, but I love this. And, you know, I get they're not perfect. I understand the criticism, but honestly, I really love this. And if you don't care about what I that's fine too. It's cool. But like, I really like this. I really fuck with this. Watching it again, it does what it's supposed to do. What is it? It's giving what it's supposed to give, you know, like,
yeah.
They're definitely just moments in love, but they're very beautiful. So
is a bump for you.
It's definitely a bump for me. I did watch this again. So I don't know how you want to spend. If you want to be depressed for 5 hours, do it. No, I mean, well, I don't think it's 5 hours, but you might be a little sad.
One day.
Yeah.
The main thing that like Lena did that kind of sucked was when she blew up and then unfollowed our podcast on Instagram. But
that's okay. Yeah, I mean, she used to check our stories too. I remember.
Yeah, she used to be on there. She used to respond.
It's cool. She's still like.
We waited too long. Like, if we had like jumped the gun, we probably could have gotten her on the show. We waited too long. Like, that's on us.
Yeah, but yeah, we should have done it within like months. Like,
yeah, the within month a few we started, weeks we should have tried. Of her like listening to our podcast.
It's well, cool. It's cool. Look, it's I'm still a fan. I will watch anything she makes.
Alrighty. Well, damn. Well, this kind of turned out to be kind of a longer episode, so I'm gonna kind of briefly mention a few honorary mentions. That are like follow-up seasons that I think were kind of great. One of them I think I already talked about was The Purge season 2. The second season was a lot better, and it kind of followed kind of how the film franchises, you know, the first one like really focused on these rich people, and then the second one doesn't, which is nice. And it kind of like almost zeroed in on like the net problem, which is the NFA, which I think is meant to like resemble a little bit the NRA, you know, shit like that.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So that was a bump for me. Kim's Convenience is another one. It's also on his last season, and it was not fucking deserved. It should have gone longer.
Yeah. I recognize some of the issues with the show, but then it got gay, so then I liked it more.
Are you just gonna give us the gay and then make it a bump and then they just cancel it? I don't know.
They canceled it after they made it gay. I mean, I get it. I understand. There was a lot of
gays
stuff.
Gays canceled, yes.
Yeah, they canceled the... Oh, man. What else?
Last but not least, Generation. Yes. season one ended up being like a two-parter, which we didn't know at the time, but we spoke a little too soon. The season definitely took a turn. It focused on really amazing characters like Riley and Chester and Greta, and took them on, took us on these adventures and journeys emotionally. I've been going through it about episode 14 for a while now. Like, I'm thinking about it.
Not over that either.
We kind of got used to the time jumps and the way that it kind of like goes back and takes something from another person's perspective, and now it's like, it's cool, it's fine, I kind of like it. I love Riley. She's probably like my favorite character I've seen on screen in a long, long time. She's so complicated.
Amazing. Yeah,
I love her, and Greta is king for life.
Greta, Gretita, Gretita.
that was part two. Was a bump.
Yeah, definitely bump on this side. I don't know what they're gonna do with it moving forward with that ending.
One more episode of that. No, it's over. The season's like done. Yeah,
That's what I'm saying. I don't know what they're gonna do with the second season because they ended like on such a
hanger.
I just want Chester to be okay, y'all. I mean, I know he will be, but damn, like, don't play with my heart like that.
I can't with this fucking show. With every damn episode, it leaves me dying on a floor.
No, for real though, y'all, like, for real.
HBO got like half of these shows that we talked about.
They did a lot with their little HBO money, HBO Max money. Look at them. They said, we gonna give it to you all.
Did that shit, dude.
All right,
well, I think we just have a few minutes and we can just do some Patreon shout outs. And for those of you who don't follow our Patreon content, which is like at least a monthly episode, it's on patreon.com/CYC podcast, and there's a lot of different levels, so we're about to shout out the people who support us on there and keep this damn podcast going. And if you don't want to do that, we also have merch. You know, we have the new vibey fucking tie-dye shirts and a bunch of other shit, so go check it out. I added a bunch of fucking shit just because I got bored the other day and like kind of revamped the whole thing, so a lot of effort. Go check it out. We'll link it in the description, and it's on our website, cabronasychingonas.com. and yeah, without further ado, here are the people that make this show happen.
All right, so shout out to the Patreons. Shout out Jessica. Shout out Joe. Shout out Marissa. Shout out Valerie. Shout out Kiki's. Shout out R. Shout out Michelle. Shout out Rosaura. Shout out Bethel. Shout out Chrissy. Shout out to my baby mama Glow. Shout out to Marimar. And shout out to Rossi. And if y'all don't know, he has his own podcast called Shit You Don't Care About. And he also has merch, and if you guys want some candy, go to getpica.com, go get some fucking candy, get some like chile gushers, that shit's amazing. Yes, this is an ad, and yes, we love them.
We're sponsored by Shit You Don't Care About /getpica candy.
Fuck yes, go get your candy, y'all, go live right. But anyways, thank y'all, I love y'all.
And then shout out to Team Cafecito /a few arcoiris. Emmanuel, what's good? Fairly new here. Sarah, I've seen you on the Instagram. Shout out to Maria. Shout out to Favi. I miss you so much. Shout out to baby Jojo Negoro. Well, I never know if I'm saying that right. Shout out to Sulema and Edith and Mari, who's in El Paso right now and needs to come back already. Shout out to Mireya. She's been like buying up the merch like hard, repping us. Shout out to Chris. Shout out to Noelle, our day one, and her amazing book talk. And shout out to Alicia, who we appreciate always and forever.
Shout out.
So yeah, support us wherever you want. If you want, for freezies, you can support us on a iTunes review. And also you can follow us on Instagram @CYC podcast, and on my personal one, which is MYTEPanda, Mite the Panda, on everything.
You can follow me at Fried Papita on Twitter. On Twitter, preferably.
And that's all, folks. All right. Have a good one.
Bye.